The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now it's time to break the cover in a brand new issue of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina, for May 2023. This is the 90 years anniversary of what was back then known as The State magazine, I think. And the theme this month is Soaring Salute, a World War II fighter plane honors those who served, plus locals' guides to Southern Pines, a tour of nine backyard gardens from Blowing Rock to Wrightsville Beach, and Pitmaster Secrets at Barbecue Camp. Well, those are the features. I don't know if we'll get to read all of them, but I certainly think we want to read about that World War II fighter plane, don't we? But as we always do in the first reading of every month, I'm going to read you the From Elizabeth column by Elizabeth Hudson, editor-in-chief. Daffodils sprouted by the woodpile where my mom grew up in southeastern Guilford County in the 1950s and 1960s, and irises clustered at the wellhouse. A scattering of trees, pear, fig, persimmon, dropped their fruits near the chicken coop. But aside from that, no other blooming flowers grew around her house. Back then, in such a rural area, people didn't cultivate those kind of gardens. The field in front of her house was filled with tobacco for extra money and potatoes and corn for extra food. We'd a yard, not a lawn, my mom says. She and her brothers were careful running barefoot around those fruit trees which attracted bees, and never once gave a thought to what a marigold or a begonia might look like. In 1968, my mom met my dad and got married, and I came along shortly after. We lived in a small bungalow in Ashboro, with a front porch that my mom filled with large ferns that hung from the eaves. 10 years later, we moved out to the country to a brick house on a hill with a few acres of woods and oak trees and sunny spots that fed thick patches of green and green grass. As a teenager in the 80s, I'd unfold a lawn chair in those sunny spots to work on a tan, and I'd cringe on weekends when my dad, to me so old in his 40s, would pull off his T-shirt and crank up the push mower, tending proudly to what was becoming a lawn, not just a yard. He and my mom got a credit card for the new Lowe's hardware that had opened, and they stocked the garage with rakes and tools, hoses and pruners. My dad bought a wheelbarrow and a riding lawnmower. He built a workbench. In 1995, the year Lowe's opened a larger store in Ashboro with a garden center attached, my dad had open-heart surgery. He recuperated that winter by keeping busy, sitting at his workbench and building small birdhouses, symbols of optimism and renewal. It seemed that he always needed some sort of nail or screw, and my mom, not quite ready for him to drive by himself, accompanied him on his trips to Lowe's. By the spring, he'd recovered, but my parents' outings to Lowe's had become their weekend ritual, so they kept going. One afternoon, they wandered the aisles of plants in the garden center, enthralled by rows of brightly colored flowers, by the profusion of flame-orange marigolds and pinwheel petunias, signs of hope and happiness. That day they loaded up the car with flats of plants and hauled everything home, spending a season digging garden beds all around our house. For the next 18 years, my parents filled our patch of earth on the hill with golden daylilies, blazing marigolds, purple impatiens. My dad affixed his birdhouses to posts and set them all around in the ground, rising among the flowers. I wish you could have seen how beautiful it all was. My mom's patch of earth is smaller now, a square of green outside the kitchen window at her townhouse in Greensboro, where my parents moved a few years before my dad died. They still made their weekend trips to Lowe's, filling pots and hanging baskets with marigolds, and cascading petunias, adapting to their new surroundings. As the weather warms, my mom will soon be out there again in the sun, tending her flowers and smiling to herself, carrying on for another season, a sign of strength and resilience, just the way my dad would have wanted, exactly how he would have hoped. And now, as I do on the first reading of every month, I would like to interpret the photo essay in the center of every issue of Our State magazine. For those of you who either cannot see or cannot see well enough to fully enjoy what is there, I'll try to help. This month is called Plant Joy. Members of garden clubs across the state know that the secret to a beautiful backyard is hard work, patience, and a passion for plants. Written by Katie King. Our first picture certainly is green, but the top, oh, I would say 80% of it is a ground-up view of a wall of green flowering, not flowering, green plants or trees or both in the background. And there's a smiling woman in a big sun hat, and she's carrying some purple flowers in a little pot. And in the front of the picture, there are three great big pots, and they're all filled with flowers also. And there's a concrete bunny rabbit. On the second page, hydrangeas, this page, as it says, are Mary Grigg's favorite plants in her garden in Mint Hill. She often looks for what she calls workhorses, or plants that bloom for long periods of time. This one is a photo of heavy foliage in the background, a lot of it a little out of focus and blurred. But in the foreground, we have a fence, a black metal fence with little, oh, kind of like spear points on top of it. And all around, sticking through that fence and towering above it, are beautiful pink hydrangeas. Overleaf Flower Child. Mary Grigg's Charlotte Garden Club, which was established in 1926. Even as a young girl, Mary Grigg surrounded herself with plants. Do you know any 12-year-olds who had plants in their room? Yeah, that was me, she says. Mother Nature is precious to me. I'm just of the earth. At her home in Mint Hill, where she's lived for 26 years, Griggs has countless plants in her house, in a greenhouse, and in at least 100 colorful planters. During the spring, caring for the garden is a full-time job. She spends about 40 hours a week working outside. Everything you see, I did it. I planted it. I dug the hole, she says. That's what I'm most proud of. When I'm gone, I'm going to leave a spot that's better. They're going to sprinkle my ashes there. I'm going to be there forever. And there's five pictures here. On the first page is a picture of the area of the lawn that turns into a little pathway made of, what do you call that kind of slate? I guess, slate pieces in the dirt to walk along, and there's some purple Adirondack-style chairs in the background. I see something which might be a hummingbird feeder in the front, and a potted plant, and then stuffed a cheese plant on either side of this little trail. Here's a picture of her holding a gigantic bouquet of white hydrangeas, and a close-up of yellow pitcher plants, and a picnic table set in a little gravel spot in her garden. Now, there's some sort of a pole to the left of that, so that might even be a light pole up there so they can enjoy the picnic table at night if the bugs aren't too bad. And on the right-hand side, a full-page picture. I'm presuming this is her quite elaborate greenhouse. It says, during the winter, Riggs keeps succulents and tender perennials in a heated greenhouse which utilizes century-old windows from the church that her husband's family has attended for almost as long. And you can see a couple of stained glass windows up high. And it's about, I would say, about a story and a high half. A story and a half high, let's make it. And it has a slanted roof that looks like it's translucent and it slopes away from us. And leading up to it are a very nice stonework. Urban Oasis, Maple Walk Garden, the Charlotte Garden Club, established 1926. One of the first things that Tom Nunnenkamp and Lib Jones planted when they bought their home in southern Charlotte in 1990 was a Japanese maple that they received as a housewarming gift. That maple still stands in their front yard, as do 97 varieties of maple in their backyard. After purchasing the wooded lot behind their home in 1997, the couple spent more than 2 years removing poison ivy, wisteria vines, scrub trees, and old construction debris by hand. Now everyone is invited to explore their 2.25-acre Maple Walk Garden, which is also home to more than 100 varieties of camellias, 24 types of dogwoods, 7,000 pots of dwarf mondo, and 1,700 feet of stone-lined paths. If you want to go, they're at 4255 Kingswood Road in Charlotte. And they even have a website, maplewalkgarden.com. There are some additional pictures here. Well, I haven't even described the first picture. First picture is on the left-hand page. It's a gravel walkway surrounded by stones on either side of it. First thing we come to is a very old, I say, by the amount of mildew on the wood, bench. And there's some plants behind it. And you're sitting facing a little island, so to speak, of greenery. All sorts of low plants to the ground and a very pretty tree in the center. And you can see that the path weaves right and then turns around and goes left in the rear to other things. And here is the couple standing at a black gate that is open next to a stone pole. They're both wearing jeans and they're looking at us, and they're obviously very proud of the garden. Here's a picture of a heavily wooded area with three nice trees on the left side and the sun shining through from way in the distance, where there's an opening and some trees at the rear of the picture. There's a close-up of fern here. It says, Lib Jones has acquired an impressive collection of perennials over the past 33 years, while her husband Tom Nunnenkamp has discovered a passion for Japanese maples and hardscaping. And here's one more picture that shows a great big vase, and out of the center of it is a little water fountain. The Blowing Rock Garden Club was established in 2001. The bronze figure seated among the flowers in the Memorial Garden on Main Street in Blowing Rock is called the Gardener. She represents the Garden Club members who have lovingly tended the town's focal point since the club was established in 2001. At least twice a week during the summer, members pull weeds and prune plants, only resting, says member Susan Sweet, when Tourists stop to tell us how much they appreciate the beauty of our gardens. So here's a couple walking hand in hand down the main street. They are against about an 18-inch high stone wall, and behind that, sloping up to a series of benches, is all sorts of garden space with the bronze figure seated in the middle. And we see the Blowing Rock sign a little further down the path. Every May, Susan Sweet shops for annuals to scatter among her perennials. The Barnum's seven circa 1940s terraces, which are shown in a picture here, include Bob's prized dahlias as well as about 50 blueberry bushes. And we see a picture of that and a statue, looks like possibly a religious statue, on the left-hand side of the path leading to the stairway going up. And there's an arborway up on the top of it. Bob and Charlene Barnum, after growing up on a tobacco farm in Summerfield, Bob Barnum swore that he would never put his hands in the dirt again. Then decades later, he fell in love with dahlias. They're just beautiful, he says. And I can share them with my friends who come over to pick them all the time. Bob tends all 27 of his dahlia plants 2 or 3 times a week. I treat everything as if it were a tobacco plant, he says, and it seems to work. And here's a very pretty dahlia. It has many, many, many pink petals in 4 layers going backward, all to the widest layer in the rear, and then there's some yellow in the center. David and Susan Sweet, wherever David and Susan Sweet moved during David's Navy career, Susan planted daffodils. I love them, she says. They're the first thing to come up in the spring, and there's the promise that you're going to have a gardening summer. Now, terraces in the couple's sloped backyard in Blowing Rock are filled with daffodils. New Guinea impatience, and Susan's pride and joy, more than 40 varieties of daylilies. On the patio, a built-in bread oven and a waist-high herb garden allow for seasonal cooking, Susan's other passion. You could see the oven behind her on a raised stone patio. And there she is tending her garden, and there is a bench out in front. And right hanging off the left side of the bench is a planter filled with some red plants. Fit for a monarch. Linda Sapp, Pinehurst Garden Club, which was established in 1981. Each spring, Linda Sapp collects some of the leaves from her milkweed plants and puts them in a mesh cage in her home. There, the tiny eggs hidden in the bottom of the leaves will hatch into caterpillars, monarchs that will grow to about the length of an index finger before they crawl to the top of the cage and form a chrysalis. After they emerge, Sapp releases the butterflies in her backyard on the Pinewood County Club golf course, where they flutter into a sea of pink, orange, and green. Movement and art have always been part of Sapp's vision for her garden. Winding paths, circular garden beds, and wind sculptures guide the gaze over the textured foliage of perennials and the bright colors of annuals, which Sapp plants in new designs and combinations each year. I started to see it like an artist's canvas, as if I were mixing paint colors, she says. Every year, it's like you're creating a three-dimensional painting. Over the last three years, Susan Sapp has released several hundred monarch butterflies that she's raised from caterpillars, and we see that a caterpillar below, it is black and yellow and white, and it is curled around a plant. Sure, he has to eat a lot of that plant in order to develop and then form that chrysalis. Here's a beautiful potted plant with a whole variety of flowers in it, and a longer view of her garden. You can see there is a little pine forest behind her, very neatly trimmed. Might even be next to a golf course. When I say trimmed, I mean there's no weeds growing in it. It's just a pine straw or whatever. And beyond that, there's some finely manicured lawn, which could be part of the golf club, I guess. But she's got every variety of flower you could imagine here, and I think that's why she has a big smile on her face. Sapp's garden is full of plants that attract bees, butterflies, and more than 30 species of birds. Most of them come from the Pinehurst Garden Club's annual plant sale, which features locally grown flowers. And here she has, on her front lawn, she has a little garden rake in a circle, and in the center of that, there's one of those wind ornaments that when the wind blows, it's like a whirligig, and it goes around. Seeds of Inspiration, Stephanie Boyle's Pinehurst Garden Club, 1981. Stephanie Boyles has been gardening since she was old enough to help her mother drop seeds into the holes in the ground. At her home in Pinehurst, she named Lily Violet's garden in honor of the woman who inspired her love of plants. Boyles still finds her greatest joy when she starts flowers and herbs from seed. Just watching that growth and how beautiful they become, she says. In addition to growing herbs to use in recipes for pesto, stuffing, caprese salad, and more, one of her main goals is to create a habitat for pollinators and other wildlife by planting native species and practicing conservation. I love it when I find some new little critter that's found a home. Full page picture on the left, Stephanie Boyles completed the North Carolina Extension Master Gardener Program in Moore County in 2008. Spending time in her garden, she says, is when I do my best thinking. And she's walking along on the grass beside a beautiful series of plants. The ones in front look like they have a very white, thin, frilly leaves. And then behind, there's some stalks that end in pale blue flowers. And then beyond that, something that actually looks like a corn stalk. I don't know whether it is or not, but there's no corn there. And then there's woods in the rear. And there's a close-up here of lantana, which is tiny yellow flowers with lots of individual little leaves. And anise hyssop, which is obviously, to me, what is in that left-hand picture when I said the pale blue flower sticking up. It's like a small cucumber, but it has all these blue flowers on the outside. And then there's a pot that's filled with several different kinds of plants in the lower right. A new leaf, Carol and Rick McNeil, Chapel Hill Garden Club, established in 1931. After retiring from a career in medical technology, Carol McNeil took an Extension Master Gardener course and loved it so much that she went back to school to earn her certificate in horticulture. She then studied to become a nurseryman and worked at a nursery in Illinois for about 8 years, I guess because they didn't have nursery women at that time. When she and her husband Rick built a home in Chapel Hill at 2008, she put all of that education to use as the couple transformed their mostly bare lot into a garden paradise. Their property is now populated with more than 200 rhododendrons, camellias, and azaleas, a variety of uncommon trees like variegated elm and English oak, and cascading roses. "We're always touching the plants or dusting them off or picking leaves out of them," Carol says. "I feel like the garden is really an extension of us and our personalities." There's a big picture here of a flagstone walkway with grass or something green growing between the individual stepping stones. And then there's tiny little blue flowers on either side. Then some bushes, including rhododendrons, right up against the home on the left-hand side. It's a picture of a the backyard has a pool. Seems to have a little bar. I don't mean liquor bar, but like a bar of concrete out in the center of it with a Buddha sitting on it looking in our direction. And then some sort of piece of artwork in the front with some maidens standing around with their arms joined together. And something on top of it I can't tell from this angle what it is, but it might be a some kind of a turtle or a platypus or something. It looks like little, not exactly feet, but something like a winged foot or something sticking down. Don't know what it is. Over here it says rhododendrons, cascading pink roses, and serenity pool calm the senses in the McNeil's garden. It always gives back to me, Carol says. I like the way the yard smells, the way it looks in the spring. We don't know why we ever travel in the spring, because it's just so beautiful. Close-up picture of some rhododendrons in full bloom, and then of the front of the house, which is has an interesting front door, because you go in, I think it's probably a small screened porch. There's two, looks like there's two doors there, or maybe just one side opens. And what's interesting about it is it has an arched ceiling that goes partway up to the second floor, and it's all glass, almost like it's a little bit of a greenhouse. And it has a small white cupola on top. Modern masterpiece, Jane and Jim Brown, Chapel Hill Garden Club, established in 1931. The Natchez crepe myrtle in Jane and Jim Bowen's backyard soars three stories high, towering over their mid-century modern home on Eastwood Lake. When it blooms, we can't even tell because it's so tall, except that we hear the hum of the honeybees, Jane says. And then it's like snowing as the blooms fall. For much of the year, the tree offers shade for what the Browns call their sanctuary, a calm, zen, pretty self-sustaining garden, as opposed to something that requires daily involvement, Jim says. Over the past 30 years, we've planted hundreds of hellebores and other deer-resistant perennials, and propagated trees and shrubs from their own plants to create a space that's relatively low maintenance. Still, Jane finds some joy working in her raised beds of poppies and peonies. And Jim enjoys pruning the sculpted camellia and the Lady Banks rosebush that drapes over the patio. When the work is done, they recline in their lakeside hammock or sit beneath the massive crepe myrtle to relax in their own little slice of heaven. Picture of the driveway here and a lot of flowering bushes out in front. Here's a couple of chickens. Here's a close-up of a camellia and of a hellebore, a new plant to me. It's kind of cup-shaped and has four leaves and some white pistils in the center. And a beautiful picture of the lake and a little boat that they have, a little rowboat. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call the studios, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.